So my wife Ruth, you'll see a picture in a minute, and our daughter Hannah, we have four children. Our youngest is just about ready to turn 14 in eighth grade, and we've been living in Wheaton the last couple years, and we attend the Alliance Church in Wheaton, Wellspring Alliance Church. And so they're there this morning, but Ruth sends her greetings. And we are had the role of team developer couple. We've been doing this since 2013 in Africa with the three other couples. At one point, now there's three couples total. And our role has expanded over this last year. So we're working, and I'm going to just let you know that I'm going to sort of speak in some generic terms because this goes on the internet. So just, if you want to hear more specifics, like what exactly I'm talking about as far as cities and stuff, come tonight. And you'll hear more specifically that way. But we are working in West Africa teams, and then in Central Africa. We've spent most of our ministry time in Central Africa, and you can see Cote d'Ivoire there, third country down, in that little emblem there. We've just spent our last term, 4 years, living in the city of Abidjan there. Ruth, my wife, is also a professor. She, you'll hear a little bit of our story in a bit here, but as we first met, she was in a doctoral program at Asbury Theological Seminary, and has since that time used that to teach a number of theological institutions in Africa. In this last 4 years of our last term, was teaching in Abidjan and also in the Democratic Republic of Congo, both in seminary-level teaching. So we're thankful for the opportunity she's had to do that. In a minute, I'll also show you a picture of our larger family. A few years ago, when our oldest daughter graduated from high school, but we have a son who's 30, his wife Kaylin, and they have our grandson, Louis, who will be two in just a couple weeks, and they live in Indonesia. They teach at an international school teaching in English. Travis is a high school history teacher, and Kaylin's an elementary school teacher. We have another son, Brandon, who lives in Chicago here, and a daughter, Leticia, who lives in Chicago. Both are working there. Brandon's in a consulting business. He works, he's one of like 100 consultants in this company. And then Leticia is an actor. So she's came to Chicago to act and to pay the bills. She's a waitress. So that's what Leticia's doing. And then Hannah is at home with us. So I'd like to ask the kids, I don't know if smaller kids, I mean, well, you could decide what age you want to come. I would like to teach you a song. So if, I'm not just quite sure how to do this. Why don't we just clear off these seats right here, and you guys come up here, whoever wants. And I've got a couple instruments. I'm not sure I'm going to have enough for everybody, but maybe we can sing it a couple times, a song, so you can sing with us. So just come up here and sit right up here. All right, this song, I want you to sit here, because you're going to need to read. If you read, you want to see these words. So... this song, today, there's a city that I've started in the city of Kinshasa, which is in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Today, the city's probably about 12 million people. The Christian Missionary Alliance, our denomination, our national church partner there, they have over 100 churches in that city. Many is not the right word. There are a number of them have probably 2,000, 3,000 in attendance in their morning service. I would guess, I haven't studied this, but probably in Kinshasa today, there's a higher percentage of people in church than there is here in your county. I'm guessing that's true. And if you want to hear more why that is, come tonight. I want to talk more about that. It's exciting what God's doing in Africa and the opportunities that are still there, the needs that are still there. So this song is probably being sung by thousands this morning. And actually, I have even heard it sung in Abidjan. They don't even know this language, but it's that well known in Africa, this song. So the song is Yesu Azali Awa. Now, I'm going to ask some questions. I want the kids here. There's a couple kids out here, too. This is a kids thing, okay? So hold on, adults. You had your chance last night. So kids, Yesu. Does anybody have an idea of what that word might mean? So if you put a J instead of a Y, what's it look like in English? Huh? Right, Jesus. Okay, so Jesus. And then in the chorus on the right-hand side there, it says, Alleluia. What do you think that means? Hallelujah. Why, adults, be quiet. Huh? This is a kid's thing. So, hallelujah. All right, so you guys know two words in the language we're singing in is called Lingala. Okay? So the first word is Yesu. What's that mean? Jesus, okay? And the second word, hallelujah, means hallelujah, okay? So, Yesu azali awa, that means Jesus is here. Is that right? Is he here this morning? Huh? He says, huh? He is with, present with us. His spirit is here with us. So, Yesu azali awa, Jesus is here. And nabiso means with us. So, Jesus is here with us. And then, hallelujah, na Yesu means hallelujah to. Yesu means what? Jesus. So, hallelujah to Jesus. All right? So, that's our song. So, we'll wait on the instruments here. I'm going to sing and one time, and then we're going to pass out these instruments, and then the kids are going to help me sing it, and then we'll, once with them, and then we'll do it with everybody at least one time. Okay? So, here we go. This is how it goes. Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Ya solo, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia nabiso. Yesu, excuse me, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia na Yesu. All right, you guys think you can do that? All right, so repeat after me. Yesu azali awa nabiso. Okay, that's good. All right. Would you like to be a drummer? And you like to shake something? How would you like to shake this guy right here? Would you like that? What do you want? Do you want to hit a drum? You don't want to do anything. Okay. What would you like to do? Take the drum. You got any big kids out here? The one I got two more shakers here. All right. One more. Pass this down to the gentleman over there. All right. Now these, come tomorrow, I think, tomorrow night's Awana, but are the adults invited to that? Is that what we heard? Okay, so I'll talk more about these instruments tomorrow night. Okay, let's all stand up. The kids are going to help us with little kids and big kids are going to help us with their instruments. Okay, can you guys, here, this one, let me show you. Take this stick out, and you're just going to hit it like this, okay? All right. Okay, here we go. Yeah, that's what it looks like, a stale hot dog. Here we go. Okay, ready? Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Ya solo, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia na Yesu. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia na Yesu. Okay, now, sounded good, but it didn't look too good. Okay? If you were in Africa this morning, in Kinshasa, let's say, you'd see a lot of moving, okay, in the service. And this is your chance. I was looking up this way when we did worship this morning, so I don't know how you guys worship here. But this, maybe you've always in your heart, you just wanted to raise your hands, you wanted to clap your hands. This is your chance to do it, because it's just totally different, huh? So just, let's enjoy this, okay? In Africa, you don't stand still. In Congo, you don't stand still when you worship, huh? You move, all right? So you ready to move? Okay, here we go. Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa, Yesu azali awa nabiso. Ya solo, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia na Yesu. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia na Yesu. All right, thank you, ladies. All right, amen, yeah. All right, thank you, guys. Good job. Yeah, I know, sorry. Well, that's right. We could do an African service. We could be here for about 2.5 hours this morning. You like that? Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, we're just getting warmed up in Africa. I mean, half the congregation would be just about this. I mean, by now, but it'd be starting to fill up. So, yeah, that's just the way things work in Congo and even Abidjan. I found that was true. Our theme this year for our conference is awaken to the kingdom reality. And you see across the bottom there, being always ready, always investing, and always serving. And I just want to take these thoughts today and just tell some stories that I believe illustrate these things. And hopefully, maybe it's a wake-up call for all of us today about what God's calling us to do. I appreciate the singing this morning. We've talked and sung about the kingdom of God, the scripture reading from Acts. Talked about the disciples. Huh? They're just it keeps coming out. In this passage in Matthew 24, we're going to look at one verse there. They're wondering what's happening. When's the end going to come? Again, in Acts, they're asking, Jesus, is the kingdom coming? And we see through the teaching of Christ, we sang from the Lord's Prayer there, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. The desire to see God's kingdom among us today, God at work today. And I want us to think a little bit about that, what's happening in places I've been, what's happened in my own life, and for you to be reflecting about what is God doing in your life, and what's God calling you to do, whether it be yourself, your family, as a congregation here, to be awakened to what God is asking us to do, what He's wanting to do, what He is doing around us. So we have this verse. In this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Joel Cagwin will be with you next week, and he and I got together. We had similar thoughts for this around this theme, so I've changed mine a little bit, and he'll be hearing more from them, I think, from the scripture, these two chapters, chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, along with some of his illustrations next week. But we're going to just focus on this verse and just jump off that into these three thoughts of always being ready, always investing, and always serving. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. In our culture, the Christian Missionary Alliance, this goes back to our founder. This was a verse that was important to him. And really, it was a motivation for what he did and what he motivated hundreds and thousands of people to do in the late 1800s. And just the stories of men and women who not only were committed in their cities where they were, but others who were ready to go to parts of the world. And in those days, they had very little idea where they were going. What it was there was awaiting them. Much different today. But they were motivated by what this verse talks about, of bringing the gospel, the good news to people in order that we might see the return of Jesus Christ. So as we think about this morning, we want to think about that the kingdom of God is not just something that's out there. I think we can get comfortable sometimes in our Christian walks and thinking that, I'm just living my life, I can't wait till Jesus comes. Or I'm living my life, I can't wait till I get to heaven. The kingdom of God is about living today. It's about what God's doing in our world, being aware, seeing what God's doing in our world, and participating in that. And that's what I want us to help to think about this morning, is what that might look like for us. So always be ready, living in love with the coming King. This gospel of the kingdom. I don't know your stories. I could talk a little bit about my story this morning. But somewhere you're here, I believe, because the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, came into your life through a friend, through a family member, parent, maybe a co-worker, who knows, I don't know. But that good news came to you. And you said, I want to know more about that Jesus. I want to follow Him. For some of us, that started when we were young. For me, I was probably about 6 years old when I asked Jesus to come into my life, forgive my sin. Some of us, that happens when we're older. But we're on this journey. And this is one of the, just through this message, I went to some sayings that have meant something to, have been important to me, but this living the journey, telling the story. As we think about this gospel, the kingdom of God, it's about, as I said, it's a journey we're on. As we're on that journey, Jesus is asking us to share our story. Let's see my slide here. Just a little bit about who I am. Last night you saw the slide on the right if you were here. I was 8 years old. I heard a missionary speaker. And God used that experience of my life at a summer camp to say, Ron, I want you to be a missionary. It's incredible to me that I was 8 years old and I had that understanding in my heart. So for those of you who are here, your kids, those who work with children, don't discount that. You're not just babysitting. You're not just filling in time. God is working in our kids' lives. And I want to encourage you in that. And God continued to do that through events like this. I grew up in Alliance Church. And so every year we did a missions conference. And we sometimes had missionaries stay in our home. Sometimes they were at our house for a meal. They would speak to our kids' program or to our youth program. And God used that to continue to affirm in my heart that he wanted me to be a missionary. And so I had the opportunity in 1977 to go to what's now the Democratic Republic of Congo. In those days it was called Zaire. And these are some photos from that experience. But just that experience was a time when God affirmed that call in my life. I knew that this is what he had for me. And it was just, the picture there on the left, just the welcome, the warmth, the welcome of the people of Zaire in those days, of the church people. And opportunity to be involved and just, I couldn't speak French, I couldn't speak Lingala. But to be out there and distributing literature and knowing that that was something that could make a difference in people's lives. And this is the group we went with, the woman in the green dress who was our translator. She had studied child evangelism fellowship training. She did that in Canada and had learned English, and we had a good time with Tona as our translator. But that was a time that God worked in my life just to affirm what he had been doing, what he had been calling me to. And in your lives, some of you are young, some of you are older, but to know that God is at work and he's got a purpose for you in your life. It's not just those who are called to be missionaries, just those who are called to be pastors. But in all of our lives, God's at work. And God has purpose for us and direction and leading that he wants to give to us. 1987, Nancy and I went to language study. We had met at Nyack College in the late 70s. And I got married in 1980. I was in the middle of my seminary training. She was an elementary school teacher, began teaching, and then we spent 4 years in Long Island before we went in 1987 to France. We went to Kinshasa, and there our first son was born, Travis, in those days. I came home on our home assignment. Brandon was born, and then we went back. During that year, there was rioting in Kinshasa. Like half the city was involved in looting. They were totally, the country was a mess. The leader had been there for a long time, 20 years or so, and the country it was getting worse instead of things getting better. And so that was a time when all of our international workers left. We were already home at that point for a home assignment. In the process of all that, we got reassigned to go across the river to Brazzaville, and there Leticia was born, Brandon and Leticia. So that's right after, that's 1994. When Leticia was born. We went back and for one final year of our term, and near the end of that term, found out Nancy had cancer, colon cancer. We came home a month earlier and planned, and she went through surgeries, radiation, chemo, but after 18 months of being back in the States, she passed away. I was left with our three kids. Travis, at that point, was just turning 8 when she passed away. Brandon was 5, and Leticia was 2. In our journey, sometimes we don't choose the things that come into our lives. And they're not always easy. And there's a lot of questions. Why, God? A verse that God gave me during those days was, I am a good father. I don't know if you know those the two passages on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew and Luke. Jesus teaches on prayer, and he talks there about how a father will give good gifts to his children. They're not going to give, if a son asks for bread, he's not going to give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, he's not going to give him a snake. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And somehow I had just had to believe that God was giving good gifts. It wasn't that illness and cancer is a good gift, but God was working in that somehow. And that's helped me. And one of the things He gave to us was our family around us those days, our church, even our school, where our kids were in school. It was incredible, the community of the people of God brought around us during those days. So living the journey is not always an easy thing. Last night again, I shared, but Ruth, 1996, she went to Congo about right before Nancy passed away. She came back to the States in 1998, and we were married, and then went to Congo in 2002 after she did some more work in her doctoral program and spent 10 years in Congo before going to Abidjan. This is a picture taken in 2012. Right in the middle is Leticia in the blue there. That's her graduation gown. And she was graduating from high school from Dakar Academy in Senegal. And our son Travis and his wife Kaylin. So Travis in the back, in the middle, and Kaylin's in the red. And they had just spent their first year teaching. They had just been a year married, a year out of college, and they were in Senegal teaching at the school there. Brandon's behind Travis and Ruth there, and he was in college at that point. As I said, now he's living in Chicago, and Leticia's in Chicago. And Hannah has changed a little bit since 2012. she's grown up to be a wonderful young lady. But we're thankful. I'm thankful for Ruth and her coming into our family. And she's been a wonderful wife, and she's a great mother to the kids. But seeing that God at work in that journey, again, things we don't choose, things we wouldn't ask for, but we see God's faithfulness in our journey. And so part of our journey then is not only experiencing the journey, not walking the journey, but telling the story. And I thank the Lord for the people. I mean, I could tell you, I could have all kinds of pictures up there. Some people don't even have pictures of them. And you too, huh? Of people that we've walked the journey with. And this is a group of pastors' wives, missionaries that we worked with in Congo. So just to remind us that God's bringing people across our paths, that we have the opportunity to work with, to live with, to share with. Some of those people love Jesus. Some of those people have no idea who Jesus is. Some of those people don't want to know who Jesus is. But we get to share life with them. We get to live life with them. And it's with purpose. Some of the people that God's brought into my life when we first went to Congo, these were two young leaders in the church. They're today now pastors, mature leaders. Sita on your left there. For a year, worked with him at a church planting, a new church. What a pleasure to work with him and to learn from him. One of the lessons I learned from him is just about trusting God. I said one day, Sita, how do you make ends meet? We talked about poverty last night. Well, he had a very menial job, huh? Menial job, that's the word, thank you. Menial job. In order that he could be involved in ministry. He was an immigrant. He was one that was looked down upon. But he worked as best as he could. And so I asked him, how do you make it? What do you do? He said, I know God's going to take care of our family. And that just spoke volumes to me. Here was a man who, I'm sure there were days he wasn't sure how he was going to feed his family. But he was committed to following Jesus and being involved in ministry. Jean-Philippe was another interesting man I got to know. He had actually been really, when Congo, before we got there, had been a communist country, and he was actually like one of the leaders nationally in their communist youth movement, well-respected, and was sort of seen as an up-and-coming leader in government. And he made the decision one day to go back to his roots. His family had grown up in the church, had to go back to Jesus. And what a passionate man for Jesus. And it's been fun over the years to know him and his wife Rose, and just see God bless them and use them in ministry. Pastor Etienne Diatta, I knew him first. He was director of the Scripture Union in Congo. He wasn't one of our pastors. And then I came back after being gone for a number of 7 years, and he was now one of our pastors. And he was in Scripture Union then. At that point, he was the director of the Bible Society for Congo, and a man passionate about the Word of God. And I, through ATN, I was just always reminded about the importance of the Word of God in my life. And I appreciated his friendship so much. And then I talked last night about this family, the Molloy family. God brought them as our neighbors in 2002 when Ruth and I first went to Congo together. And God has just blessed that friendship. And Ruth and I have had opportunity to invest in their family and to see Andrea, the wife, come to Christ, to Malloy recommit his life to Jesus, and to see their maturity and their growth as a Christian couple. Life isn't easy for them. I go there, Congo, twice a year, and always try to see them, and life isn't easy. I gave them a little money last time I was there, and they said, Andrea said, thank you so much. I was wondering how we were going to pay the school fees we needed to pay. And I will use this money for that. But they're trusting Jesus, and it's fun to watch their faith in Jesus. So God is calling us to, as we live our journey, to share the story of who Jesus is, what he's doing in our lives with others. And this, as we think about the kingdom, being awakened to what the kingdom realities, Jesus is calling us to be ready. Ready today to tell others what Jesus means to us. Also ready if he would come back. Waiting, living for him. Doing the things he's calling us to do. Being faithful to him. And we do that out of love for what he's done for us in our lives. That gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ. God's also calling us in this kingdom reality to always be investing. And he's given each of us something, given us many things. And the question is, what do we do with those? Just be yourself. This is 1996. I went to Dakota Falls College. I don't know if you know, I was asked to go to Dakota Falls College, if you know Dakota Falls College, but I was asked to go there to do a missions conference, or be a part of a missions conference. And the people I was speaking with were the Maxies from Erie and Jaya, like the older Maxies. I don't know if any of you ever heard them speak. But they actually spoke at NIAC when I was a student. Their oldest son was in NIAC with me. And it was actually through their ministry that my wife, Nancy, received a call to missions. So I was thinking, like, I've always worked in cities. You know, I've been in Africa, but I have very urban ministry. Here I'm alongside this couple. They've done what you think missions is all about. I mean, they lived out in the middle of the jungles, worked in these villages, you know, with headhunters. And, that's what real missionaries do. And I was like, how can I go with the Maxies and be a speaker at this missions conference? And Nancy said to me, just be yourself. Be who God's made you to be. And I hear that these days from my fathers. I call them, Ron, just God's called you to what you're doing. Just be yourself. And that's the word for you today. Is God has given us who we are to invest for what he's doing. We don't have to be anybody else. We be ourselves. My brother's done some training with us, and he's a consultant, does team building and personal coaching. And in the secular world, he talks about being a mature version of yourself. God's made us all. I mean, we can be very immature in who we are. In the church here, we talk about that's the process of sanctification, of the lordship of Christ, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, taking who we are and allowing that to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. But God's calling us, each of us, to take what he's given us and to invest it for what will last for eternity. And I want to thank you. Even just to do presentation of the Great Commission Fund, of your pledge. Thank you for your investment in missions. Thank you for praying for us. In fact, it was shared last night that some of you were praying for our family during that period of when Nancy was ill. And then for us as Nancy passed away. That's incredible. I don't even know you guys before this. And here you were praying for our family. So thank you for that investment in prayer. And thank you for those who've gone out from this congregation to different places. But that's not all. Huh? God's calling each of us to be invested where we are. Not just with our money, with our prayers, but just in the lives of the people around us. So I'd like to just share a story with you from Darkness into Light. This is a two-part story. We're watching the second part. It's about a man, Celestin. He's in Congo. And he tells in the first part how he came to Christ. So he picks up on that as this starts. And it's he's speaking in French. So Charlotte, she can follow that for us. But it's there's subtitles, that's the word, in English. So you just got to get your reading eyes on to follow what he's saying. But it's an encouraging story of investment. First of all, Dave and Teresa Bill, their investment in this man's life. And there's been many others invested in his life, but they're in this story here with him. And then his investment and what God's made him passionate about. So let's listen to the story of Celeste.
Marcher selon le plaisir de la chair et j'ai des enfants hors mariage. J'ai mon premier garçon, par exemple, que je n'ai jamais su l'existence jusqu'à son âge de 4 ans. La phrase qui me revenait toujours, j'ai conçu un enfant dans le péché, dans la zone, mais je vais concevoir des enfants dans le Seigneur, dans la maison. Je crois que le Seigneur avait écouté ce m'a conduit petit à petit jusqu'à pouvoir réaliser son plan pour ce faire avec nous. Dès les premiers jours où nous sommes arrivés à Olombo, je me suis rendu compte que les enfants ont beaucoup de lacunes. Alors j'ai été obligé de penser à une école. À une école où on va enseigner non pas seulement les enseignements scolaires, mais ils ont aussi besoin des enseignements scolaires. Je sais que le Seigneur, pour ce peuple, veut une chose, qu'il soit sauvé et parvienne à la connaissance de la vérité. Alors moi, je m'aligne à cet objectif-là. Et c'est ce que je fais jour après jour. Si je peux gagner 10 tout seul, ensemble, nous pourrons gagner 100. J'ai dit, seul, nous ne pouvons rien. Mais ensemble, nous pourrons beaucoup de choses.
So by myself, I can see 10 people come to Christ together, 100. So he's talking, there he's working with Dave and Teresa Bill, who believed in Celeste, who came alongside him, encouraged him to be a part of the ministry that they were involved in this town called Olombo. And as Celeste went, we saw, his passion for children, and saw the need and started a school that he's continued to lead. Actually, he's got 2 schools in 2 neighboring towns there right now, along with leading the local church. God has given each of us, there we go, oops. Back to the, sorry. God's given each of us the things we're passionate about. He's given us gifts, spiritual gifts, abilities, education we've received. And to use those for the things he's calling us to do. I just want to challenge us again today to take what God is giving us and to invest it. Invest it in the lives of people. And that will look different for different people. The thing we need to be careful of, I've learned over the years, is I'm passionate about such and such a thing. You know, I come along, I mentor people. I think everybody should be mentoring people. I need to let my brother and sister, who God's made passion for children's ministries like Celestin, to go do their thing. And someone who's out there doing evangelism, maybe in their way in their neighborhood. We need to, each of us, allow people to follow the passions and the leadings that God's given them, but we need to be here to be supportive of one another, praying for each other. And if we share a passion, to come alongside and work together in what God's calling us to do. One final story just about investing here. Actually, there's two stories that are connected. This picture on the left is me in 1990, you see there, baptizing in the Congo River. We've had the privilege of living on the second largest river in the world. There's the most, as far as volume of water. It's an incredible river. It's one of those things where you live next to something of greatness, and sometimes you just sort of take it for granted. Every once in a while, I'd say to Ruth, we got to stop and just appreciate this river that's in front of us here. So here I was, baptizing the river in 1990, these new believers. I was with the man that baptizing with me. His name is Pastor Nyosi. Pastor Nyosi was a man who took what God had given him and was investing it for those things that would last. He could have been a pastor in a comfortable town, comfortably in a town, in a church. But he had a passion to see people who didn't have the opportunity to hear Christ, about Christ. And so he was a part of a team that was going east of Kinshasa at that point, and it was called the Pateki Plateau, a group of people that had long been resistant to the gospel, and very much involved in their traditional beliefs, and powers, the spiritual powers. And he was invested with some other Congolese men and some of our missionaries of regular going out there on these trips. They weren't easy trips. There were times they were threatened at gunpoint. There's all kinds of stories. In fact, one of our couples that worked there during that period, they had a son the same age as Travis. Both of the boys were born just a month apart, and he died during that period. And just believe it was a spiritual attack. Because of the work that this boy's parents were doing. So Pastor Nyosi invested years there along the Pateki Plateau. He died several years ago. I think it was probably about 10 years ago. We received word across the river in Brazzaville that he had passed away, had gotten ill on a trip, one of these trips, and passed away just outside of the city. Just last, or 2 years ago now, in 2017, we were in Boma, which is where the National Church for the DRC, their offices are, and that's where their seminary is. And Ruth teaches a group of the master's students. So there's master's in theology and master's in missions. So sometimes, summer courses she teaches for both groups. Some of them she teaches just the missions folks. So this man came up to Ruth and said, "My name's Vaughn." And he knew Ruth liked to walk. So every morning she's out walking. And he said, "Can I go on your walk tomorrow with you? I'd like to tell you a little bit of my story." She learned that this man, Vaughn, was Pastor Nyosi's son. And the kids of Pastor Nyosi's kids, it was most often Vaughn that went with him on these trips. And he would be there alongside his dad, just helping out his dad. His name Vaughn came from the first missionary that worked with this group of missionaries, Theo van Vanderbilt. He was a Dutch missionary that was in DRC with us. And so he was named after that man, Theo, Vaughn, Van der Belt. And so they call him Vaughn. Vaughn, during those years of just going, traveling with his dad, he sensed God calling him to be a missionary as well. And he thought God wanted him to go into medical ministries. So he actually went to, under his undergrad work, preparing to get into med school. And I don't remember the whole story, but I know that God showed him, he had other things for him, and he ended up here at the seminary. It was refreshing, huh? It was exciting to see now the son of this man who had spent years in missions work, his son wanting to also follow in his dad's footsteps of being a missionary, of taking what God had given him and investing it for those things that would last for eternity. And so that's my just encouragement today. As we think about the being aware of these kingdom realities, is how are we, asking the question, how are we investing what God has given us? Time, financial resources, abilities, gifts, talents, passion we have for certain things. What are we doing with those things? Are we investing them for those things that will last forever? And the last thought here is always be serving. As we think about kingdom realities. And we think about the kingdom of God is a place that God, it's a place of love, a place where people are precious to God. Ruth, one of the classes she taught at BOMA, was a class on the kingdom of God and mission in Africa. And through that, and then she did something at the school in Abidjan, I heard her there do a presentation one time, and just picking up from those, seeing as you read through the scripture, the Gospels and the kingdom of God, there's an emphasis on love. You know, Jesus asked us, actually commanded us to love our enemies, pray for those who despitefully use us. that's a high calling. And we don't always find it easy to do that. But Jesus, as he empowers us through his Spirit, is asking us to have that high standard of loving even those who are very difficult to love. He calls us to serve. Jesus said at one point, as the disciples were arguing among themselves, and it's interesting how many times this happens in the Gospels, huh? 4 or 5 times. Who's the best among us? Who's the greatest? You know, and Jesus said, myself, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. There's one of those passages Jesus talks about the idea that the youngest, or the older, we need to become like the younger brother. It's like gotten to know the Congolese culture better and better over the years. That idea became more and more significant to me, because in culture in Congo, in Lingala, the language we sang that song in, there's a term used for an older sibling, yaya, and there's the term for a younger sibling is leki. And the yaya has all kinds of privileges. I mean, they're looked up to, they're respected, expected to give leadership in the family, but the leki is looking out to serve the yaya. And Jesus is saying, when we're yaya, we need to be a leki. We need to see ourselves not as the person that's being served in the family. Yeah, there's responsibilities that come along with that, but we need to see ourselves as the one who's there to serve. And so the kingdom of God, it calls us in these realities to be people who serve. And then Ruth also talked about the idea that the kingdom of God is a message of hope. And we look at our world today, if you look through the centuries, there's always been this sense of hopelessness, huh? Because something, these things aren't going well. Yeah, as we look to Scripture, look to the teaching of Christ, there's hope. Hope for what he wants to do in our lives, transformation he wants to bring. And hope that one day he's coming back to set things right. Those are the kingdom realities that we live with. And so as we come to be a sense of readiness, a sense of wanting to invest, we come as people who serve. And I just want to tell you the story of Davy. He's a guy, and you'll get this, is one who understands what it means to be, first, so grateful for what God has done in his life, that he's there to serve other people. And this one, they actually have a dub over, so it's in English, so you don't have to read anything. But another story of a man that I know from Congo.
Weren't for the Lord, I would have died long ago. My parents divorced when I was young, and I lived with my father, who cared little for me. Life was difficult. There was war, and some days it was hard just to find food to eat. On the street, I learned to live for myself and what I wanted. When I was 17, my father remarried, and I was forced to return to my mother and her new husband, a pastor. This was the first time that I remember hearing about Jesus. Living in the house of a pastor does not mean that you are saved. I would go to church, but my heart was not changed. I tried to satisfy the emptiness by feeding my flesh. Alcohol and women, I couldn't get enough. One day at a church event, I met this girl named Grace. Grace was so different than the other girls I had met. She had recently lost her husband to an illness, but her faith was still strong. We fell in love and were married. Even though I cared for her, I continued to live for myself. I was often out drinking past midnight. When I would stagger home, Grace would gently remind me that God had a better life for me. But I wasn't ready to give up my former life. After the birth of our daughter, Hannah, I noticed that Grace wasn't getting her strength back. At first, the sickness progressed so gradually that I didn't notice. But in the end, she deteriorated quickly. My pride of 11 years wasted away and was gone. I fell sick with tuberculosis. My doctor ran some tests and gave me unimaginable news. Both my daughter and I were HIV positive. I lost all hope. When news spread about her sickness, I lost my job. Anna and I found ourselves alone. We went to stay in the home of our friends Jay and Ben. I figured that is where I would die, and maybe they could help find someone to care for little Anna. Then on my worst day, Jesus appeared to me in a dream. He told me, "You aren't finished yet. Have hope." The doctors had given me a few weeks to live, but God touched me and healed me from the TB. That was almost 5 years ago. Jay and Bev told me the story of the crippled woman that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. As I listened, I felt like I was hearing my own story. Just like that woman, I am no one special, and yet God healed me. I was filled with hope as I understood Christ's love for me. I knew I had to pass it on. The first time I shared this story was with a sick woman in the hospital. Right away, I saw her change. Jesus restored my health so that I can tell others about Him. I am convinced of this. I visit AIDS patients and sick people in the hospital and bring them home. I shared with quarreling neighbors and I saw their relationship restored. Many times people come and seek me out. I couldn't do any of this without the Lord. I have lived through so much pain and difficulty, but the suffering for me is a grace, so that I can be closer to Jesus. Every day that I am alive, every day that I have breath, I will tell about His goodness.
There at the end, Davy said, "I couldn't do any of this without the Lord. I have lived through so much pain and difficulty, but the suffering for me is a grace so that I can be closer to Jesus. Every day I'm alive, every day that I have breath, I will tell about His goodness." Davy is one who understands the love of Jesus for him. He understands that what we're about is sharing that love with others. He sees that the people around him are precious to Jesus. And he's invested in that. I just saw him in November. He's struggling again with his health. But he's faithfully preparing others to tell stories that we mentioned there at the end of the video. It's been exciting to see as Jay and Bev, who we talked about there. Bev was pictured in that last scene. One of our workers and this team that they put together of Congolese, as they're going out into villages where, again, people have often been resistant to the gospel, telling scripture stories, starting in Genesis, telling them about what God has done, what God wants to do. People saying, "I never heard that before. I didn't know God was like that. I want to follow that God." And it's been exciting to see that at work. In fact, they've been doing a series of stories. Some of these villages they first started in, those villages now are saying, "Well, these villages around us, they don't know these stories." And they're not asking the team that's coming from the city to come go out to these other villages. They're saying, "Yeah, we need to go tell these stories." And so it's that passing on of understanding that God loves the people next door. And I need to go tell them what God is doing and what He's done for me and what I've learned about Him. And so just encouraging us as we think about serving. that God loves us. He loves the people around us. The people around us are precious to Him. And God is calling us to be involved in people's lives. We're privileged now, as I said, to work with teams in 5 countries and doing a number of different things. And some of our workers are involved in church planting, like J.M. Bev in Pointe Noire with Davey. Others are involved in medical work and really trying to, or helping people in their basic physical needs, but along with that, taking opportunities to share Christ. And our hospitals have chaplains, and they come alongside. They tell every morning there's chapel services for those who are waiting to be seen and people that come with them. So we see that happening. We have some in our cities that are working with women who are in difficult situations. And two of our women in one of the towns is regularly going into prisons and working with young teenage mothers. It's neat to see people involved in these different ways because God loves the people that they're ministering to. So thank you for, again, your investment in making those things possible and encouraging you to continue to think about what God has for you here in your own neighborhood. So this morning, we're talking about being awake to the kingdom realities. I'm not sure what God's doing in your heart, but I encourage you to take that and sit with it and pray about it, talk about it with your spouse or with your children or with your parents and talk about it in small groups here in the church and as a congregation. What is it God is calling us to do as He wants to awake us to kingdom realities? May I pray for us this morning. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in our world. I thank You for the privilege You've given me to be a part of what's happening in Africa. What a joy that's been over the years to be involved in people's lives, as I shared here this morning. And Lord, thank You for my brothers and sisters here with me this morning. People I don't know until just this weekend. People who love You. People who are involved in Your kingdom work. And pray that these thoughts from this morning would encourage us and also help us take next steps to the things You're calling us to do. Empower us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. May we walk faithfully with You. May we listen to Your voice. May we be ready in season and out of season, as Scripture tells us, to love people, to talk about what You're doing in our lives, talk about what You want to do in their lives, encouraging people to take those steps of walking with Jesus. So thank You for this time this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.